Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to listeners. We welcome you once again to the car program, Revit of Car program. Tonight being a lovely Friday night, but chilly out there, and reports coming through that it might be quite chilly out tomorrow, inshallah. Alright, you listeners, it's your forwarding program, and we have with us in the studios Abdul Haq Atrara. We're going to be having the program for approximately 25 minutes. A limited time, so give us a call, inshallah, on the number 011-854-1548. 011-854-1548, and the SMS number is 0825-80870. 0825-80870. All right, be waiting for the calls and the SMSs. Abdul Haq Atrara, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakum Allah khair once again for the opportunity. Alhamdulillah, we are sitting in the studio. As Mawlana said, tomorrow it's going to get cold. You know, outside it's quite windy when I got to the studios, Mawlana, and there is a slight drizzle as well, so that's going to make it rather cold. In fact, I met a brother downstairs and I said to him, it's going to get cold. He said, do you think so? I said, well, it's already cold. So, yeah, I think, guys, you know, let's keep warm, inshallah. And especially with the rain, you know, let's try and take it easy on the roads as well. You know, to be safe. Importantly, when it's raining, we always harp on the fact that following distance is very, very, very important. So, inshallah, let's try and be safe. And if it's a cold weekend, let's chill out at home and be more safer, inshallah.
All right, jazakumallah. We're waiting for the SMSs, we're waiting for the calls. The number to call, 0825-80-8070, that is the SMS number. And if you want to come live in the program, the number is 011-854-1548. Alright, we'll have a question coming through with regards to a car battery, and we know the car battery is going to explode. You know, when a car battery charges, it gives off something called hydrogen gas. Abdullah Haq, what happens if a spark occurs near the battery? And normally we see people smoking, you know, while changing batteries or while working with the batteries. How dangerous is this? And added to that, you know, what's the risks with regards to recharging a frozen battery?
See, Morana, this, I think we've had this question before, if I'm not mistaken, but yeah, it sounds rather familiar, I would say, the question. Yeah, extremely dangerous because, you know, the acid within the battery itself, hydrochloric acid, extremely dangerous because if it messes firstly on your hands or on your skin or anywhere whatsoever, it will start eating away your skin. It will actually dissolve your skin and things like that. Yeah, very, very important that we rather leave it to professionals. If we feel we want to handle it, then make sure you handle it with extreme care, simply because if you are smoking around a battery, the hydrogen gas that actually comes out is extremely flammable. When I say extremely flammable, I mean very, very seriously. It can explode, you know, creating a lot of havoc. And if that acid has to blow up from the battery, obviously it's going to go to your face and everywhere else. And, you know, with the result, you're going to burn yourself. Coming back to recharging a frozen battery, obviously, you know, you're taking some sort of risk as far as how immediate you put it on to charge and what the condition of the battery is as well. Because obviously a battery needs to warm up rather slowly. So I would suggest that, you know, you don't take these chances on your own. You go out to a proper battery center, a battery dealer, and let him have a look at your battery for you. The other thing is, when a battery does get old as well, you know, I see a lot of times, in fact, I had a vehicle a couple of weeks ago where, you know, the guy was actually jump-starting the car. The battery was extremely swollen. Yeah. And he was still jump-starting the battery with in that condition. And you will get this hydrogen gas that comes off from the battery, the fumes that actually come out. Smells a lot like rotten eggs, Marana. And I tell you something. If the brother proceeded with that battery, he would have had major explosion in the car.
Are you serious?
Very, very seriously. I've seen those batteries explode. A lot of times people tend to also say, I'm going to charge the battery up without removing the caps on the battery. That's the older batteries. Nowadays the batteries, they so-called, you know, sealed units. They don't need water. They don't need maintenance, whatever, whatever. But on a very, very serious note, I have seen those batteries explode where, because it needs to actually breathe. A battery needs to breathe when it is charging, and especially if you put it on a quick charge, overnight charge, where you're not actually looking at it or keeping an eye on it. I wouldn't mess around with the battery. The other thing is, Mawlana, very, very importantly, why we need to recharge new batteries. There is actually no need to recharge them if you place them on a cardboard box or a wooden, you know, piece of wood or something like that. Because what happens is the cold from the floor actually gets into the battery and discharges it. So if you do store a battery, make sure you store it on a piece of wood, a piece of rubber, you know, or even a mat or something like that, you know, carpet or something like that. Make sure you store it in a very, very, how can I say, not cold place. Because once it is cold, it actually does discharge the battery, even though it may be new.
That is why they normally say don't put it on the floor.
Don't put it on a concrete floor. That is the reason, because what happens is the cold actually discharges the battery. I got a battery lying in the boat, Molana, now for what? I started it the other day. After about 3 months, no problems at all, because it obviously is in a encased, plastic container, and there is no cold from the floor coming into the battery itself. So yeah, when ending a battery, also Molana, you say people are smoking. This is extremely dangerous because one simple spark of the battery of the cigarette is actually gonna blow up in your face. So importantly, don't do. And there is a sign, I think, on the battery, if I'm not mistaken, that says then it shows a no smoking sign. I know a lot of mechanics tend to do it. A lot of DIY guys, they say, no, it's safe, you know. Also with petrol, they do the same sort of thing. So don't take those chances, because the hydrogen gas that comes off from a battery is rather more dangerous, I would have thought, than actually the petrol itself exploding there itself. So yeah, guys, when it comes to battery, handle with extreme caution, extreme care. Don't just, you know, mess around with your battery. The other thing is, if you are fitting in a battery, importantly, Morana, while we are there on the point, especially now that the winter is coming, guys, you know, it's important to check your battery out, because a little bit of a cold in the morning or overnight is actually going to discharge a battery to a certain point. So go out there, have your battery checked up, make sure that it's fine, because in the winter we get so many calls in the morning. My car doesn't start in the morning, but once you start it up in the morning, the rest of the day it starts, because what happens is you might have what we call a dead cell within the battery itself. And one dead cell can actually take away X amount of power from the battery, and you know, we know that obviously you need the full power on the battery to actually turn the starter, start the motor enough to actually start the vehicle up. And the other thing also you have, especially when it comes to the diesel vehicles, the older diesel vehicles, you know, you'll find in the winter time you have to crank it up rather a little bit more than the summer time for it to actually start. And with a lower battery, you're going to end up with a bit of a problem on that. So guys, with this winter time, it's already here, make sure your batteries are all in order. Nowadays you do get batteries. Please, guys, when you buy a battery, make sure that you get a receipt for the battery, because nowadays the batteries come with a 2-year guarantee. No more 1 year. The 1-year thing has fallen away. So, you know, make sure you get a slip and keep it in a safe place. I would suggest rather safely somewhere in the car itself. So if you do have a problem, you can query it immediately. And the other thing is, don't buy a battery from anybody you just don't know, because you don't know what battery is selling you. There are guys on the street corners, I have seen it many times in Braamfontein, especially in Johannesburg area, is where they stand at the robots. What these guys do actually, they have a old battery, they clean it up very, very nicely, they fill it up with water so it feels nice and heavy, everything else, they put it in a plastic packet, it looks extremely professional and looks brand spanking new. And I know of someone who bought a battery like that, and all he got was clean water in the battery, because it was a dead battery that they reconditioned looking new. So please, guys, don't buy it off the street corners and elsewhere. There are a good few companies that you can buy from, and they carry what we call a country-wide guarantee. For example, you know, there's a guy I deal with. He sells batteries, and if there's a problem with his battery, and you go down to Durban, you have a problem with your battery, the Exide dealer in Durban will have a look at your battery and assist you with everything. And if it needs replacing, they will replace it for you. So I suggest, you know, it's an important component of the vehicle, because without a battery, your car is not going to start. So, yeah, take extreme care, extreme caution, precaution, everything in every way whatsoever, that you get the right battery for your vehicle. It is sold to you by a reputable dealer, and it does carry a countrywide guarantee, so wherever you go, you know you're not going to just simply sit with a battery.
Okay, lovely. Jazakallah. Number to call, we take it further, 854-1548. SMS coming through regarding Hyundai Matrix 1.6 2007 model. The trade value is about 48,000 rands. Retail is about 55,000 rands. And somebody wants to know what's the new list price. It's 152,000 rands. Abdul Haq, somebody wants to purchase a car. He wants to know, he was told regarding the monthly installment rates, the deposit, number of installments, total payment. What does the balloon payment mean?
Maulana, you know, I actually had Brother Yusuf coming to come and explain these sort of things to us regarding these balloon payments and buying these vehicles on HP and things like that. So I would suggest, Maulana, I'm not going to really answer that question simply because I'm not too clued up on that particular thing. But what I would do is, inshallah, Brother Yusuf will be coming in, you know, just because of today's short program, we didn't get him in. But he will be coming in next week, inshallah, to explain all these things, you know, in detail, and particularly, you know, regarding the balloon payment, where obviously, you know, it's sort of buy-off, but it's not a buy-off as well. But, yeah, so regarding that, unfortunately, I'm not going to elaborate because my knowledge on that is rather limited as far as that is concerned.
All right. Let's take it further, inshallah. The question coming through is, assalamu alaikum, when I drive, I smell fumes from the vents. No sound of hole in the exhaust. It's a Mazda 323.
Mazda 323, and you're getting fumes through the vents.
Yeah.
Fumes, exhaust fumes or fuel fumes? That's the question that's coming in, all right? Let's try and answer both of them, inshallah. The first of all is, if you're getting fumes from your vents in the front of the vehicle, then you probably have what we call a fuel leak on your fuel system somewhere, or you've got overfueling that is also creating that sort of a problem for you. So you're getting fumes coming in from the vents. The other fumes that you could be getting, the exhaust fumes, is obviously your boot seal, the seal that actually seals your boot, or your door seals at the back are not sealed properly. And when you're actually moving forward, your vehicle's moving forward, it does create what we call a vacuum behind it.
Okay.
So because you're moving forward, you're getting a vacuum behind your vehicle, and these fumes are then being sucked into your boot and via your boot behind the seats, and this is the way it will enter your vehicle. If you want to look at a perfect example of something like that, exhaust fumes coming into the vehicle, is, you know, drive, I would say, a Bucky with a canopy on, you know, something like that. Or if you take today's SUVs, you take a Vito, you take the Honda Odyssey. I've done it a couple of times where you loaded something inside and the boot is slightly opened, and you will actually get sick of those fumes that are coming through there because of that vacuum being created behind the vehicle in that forward motion. And with the results, it actually does suck in those fumes in there. So I would suggest you look at your boot seals. And if it's coming from the front vents, then you might be having a fuel problem in the engine compartment.
Okay, jazakallah. 26 minutes past 7 o'clock, limited time. Question coming through stating, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Please advise, my car's oil has been overfilled. What can be done? And the car is a Tez. Jazakallah.
It's a Tez.
Drink it up.
All right.
Put the straw in, drink it up.
You know, I don't know if your mechanic or technician has what we call a suction oil drainer. Most of the vehicles today, unfortunately, you're going to have to suck the oil out of the dipstick. And if he has one of those, I would suggest that he will suck that out for you. If perchance you do leave that oil in there, there is more than, it's highly likely that your car will start smoking because the excess oil is coming up over above the valves and then it's coming back into the vehicle. And yes, to a certain degree, it can damage your seals in the vehicle. So I would suggest you have that removed. I wouldn't say as soon as possible, but rather sooner than later. I mean, are you filling in your oil yourself? Is that why you've overfilled it? Or how did you determine or ascertain how the oil level is overfull in your vehicle? I know you're talking to us via SMS. If your car is smoking, obviously that could be a sign of overfilled oil, unless you've checked it on the dipstick itself. And I'm quite curious what the reason is why you have overfilled, or why someone has overfilled the oil in your vehicle.
Jazakumullah. We continue 7:27 p.m. Abdul Haq, important question with regards to mixing oils. Are there any dire consequences if you mix the synthetic and the non-synthetic oil in a car engine? So is mixing oils okay or not okay?
Manana, you know, there are so much difference, of opinion regarding the mixing of oils in the, as far as the car is concerned. Obviously, if you have been using, for example, synthetic oil all the time, I'm going to suggest that you don't put in a non-synthetic oil in there, or if you have been using a non-synthetic, I can move over to synthetic, because obviously the synthetic quality of the oil is rather different. What you might have, though, is if you've been using a synthetic oil and you move over to a non-synthetic oil, there's a possibility you could be having oil consumption. It also depends on the sort of trips that you are doing with your vehicle. For example, if you're doing short trips and things like that, and it's an old vehicle, I say go for the non-synthetic, it's fine. Obviously, the motors that are manufactured today, the engines that they do manufacture today, especially, if you look at all your 16 valves and multi-valves and all these sort of things, then it's very important that you don't mix your oils. Like I said, it's okay, but it's not okay also. So just stick to what you've been using, unless in an extreme case where you are stuck in the middle of the Karoo and somebody's got pan cooking oil. Then I would suggest throw it in just to get to the next point where you can get a decent oil and make sure you put the right, correct oil in the vehicle. I think we mentioned this quite often, because that's what's going to create sludge in your motor. It could be, sludge could be extremely harmful to the motor itself, because you're going to have excessive wear and tear. You're going to do early engine overhauls. You could have bearing knocks. There are so many, I wouldn't say it's dire and things like that, but you know what? Stick to what your vehicle has been specified to. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish, because at the end of the day, if you use the incorrect oils, you are going to spend a lot of money repairing the engine. So, yeah, try not to mix the oils. But as I said, unless you're in dire straits, you're in dire need, you're stuck somewhere and you've got the certain oil, use it just to get you to your point, wherever you're getting to, and then make sure you do put the correct oil in the vehicle. The other thing is, Monona, talking about the oils in the vehicle, we get a lot of times where the client actually requests that, please, by just change the oil, don't worry about the filter. That is extremely, what should I say, dumb, stupid, ridiculous. Because what happens is, if you don't replace the filter, the new oil is going to pass through a filter that is already full of muck and all the engine has collected, all the dirt. That's why the filter is there. It's collected all this dirt, and immediately your clean oil is going to go through this old dirty oil filter, and that's going to contaminate your oil rather immediately. So you've wasted your time actually putting in only the oil. So I would suggest, guys, make sure when you do an oil change, you change the oil filter as well. I know a lot of times it's difficult. There are some places you can't get in, and yeah, the dealers or the manufacturers are now trying to sideline the do-it-yourself mechanic. So that is why they put them in difficult situations and positions, so it becomes difficult for the owner to actually do it himself.
Jazakumullah. Question coming through, the trade value regarding BMW 335i, the E90. It's a 2008 model. Gee, the trade is about 155,000 rands. But yes, obviously you're not going to pay 155. Retail is about 180,000 rands. But possibly I think you can pay about 130. Just make mashallah with somebody you know who is in the business. All right. Abdul Haq, another question coming through regarding a Mazda 2 1.5 individual 5. It says, 2010 model. The trade is about 109,000 rands. Gee, also, trade value.
Nice little cars, the Mazda 2, the Mazda 3. In fact, I had a client this week, I think it was Morana Nanabai, that was there this week, yesterday was with me, and he bought the Mazda 5. And I was actually, I mean, look, I have driven the car before. I have worked on a vehicle like that before. And I was rather impressed, you know, that our guys are looking at the Mazda now, because that's those cars are underrated. Okay, look, the maintenance comes, you know, today it's almost evens out with all your vehicles. You know, sometimes, like I say, you know, certain things on a BM are more expensive than a Merc, certain things on a Merc are more expensive than a BM. The same thing goes with Mazda, Merc, BM, the whole two. It's across the board that this is the way it works. But I'm impressed that Morana actually had the courage to look at Mazda 5. And yeah, inshallah, he has a lot of driving pleasure with that BM.
I mean, Picanto, lovely small little cars to drive around with, especially in the in the town. Picanto 1.1 2007 model, gee, the trade is about 29. The brother wants to know, can he pay 34,000 rands? Yes, I think 34 is in fact a good price. 34,000 rands, the kilos are 130, I think, my brother. Inshallah, it is a definite buy. Okay, the question stating regarding the oil that came in a few minutes ago regarding the car has been overfilled. It says, Jazakallah, the dipstick shows normal now, but car smoked for a few months now since been overfilled.
So the
dipstick shows normal, so it is normal, no?
Sure, but now it's dropped down. But hopefully, inshallah, it hasn't done any damage to the vehicle as such, because what happens is excess oil in the vehicle. I remember in the old Mercs, the 380 SEs and things like that, if you did overfill the oil, you get rough idling. You know, they do certain amount of damage can be done on the vehicle itself. But like I said, you know, if the oil is overfilled, it can smoke out. It's been a couple of months now you've been driving like that. You know, just make sure that you don't have excess wear and tear on your engine, because that smoking then should subside if the oil has come down to its normal level.
Jazakumullah. All right, we're going to take our last question for tonight's program. Abdul-Haq, the question is with regards to a clutch slipping. One of the most common clutch problems is slipping. When it slips, do you have to change the entire system, the clutch blade, pressure blade, or just maybe the pressure blade?
Gee, Morana, very, very good question. And this is something that I have been experiencing. You know, people say, you know, but it's just the clutch blade, just the clutch blade. Morana, there is no such a thing as doing only a clutch blade or only a pressure plate. And the other thing,
if you're going to open up to the entire
thing, it's
going to cost you 500 rands more, maybe.
Look, the other thing we have is nowadays what we call a concentric release bearing. The concentric release bearing is made up of a bearing as well as the hydraulics for the clutch slave cylinder. It's all come in as one component. And because it's a bit expensive, I mean, you know, you'll pay about 1,200, 1,400, starting somewhere around there for all the different vehicles. You know, if you don't replace that bearing, you're looking for absolute trouble. So I would suggest, and Mulana, previously, when you bought a clutch kit, you got a clutch plate, pressure plate, and the release bearing in the box as well. But now, due to the new concentric bearings that they have, it's not included in the clutch kit. So in the clutch kit, what you're going to get is a clutch plate and a pressure plate. Importantly, they are a matched kit. You should replace them together as one unit. And not forgetting that you have to replace the concentric bearing as well. So very, very important that you replace the concentric bearing, clutch plate, pressure plate. The other important thing is, obviously, when the gearbox is removed, the oil's been changed, put in the new oil as well into the gearbox. Make sure everything is in order there. You don't put one thing and then 2 weeks later you've got to take the gearbox out because it wasn't actually the clutch plate, it was more the pressure plate. Or if it wasn't the pressure, it was more the clutch plate. So please, guys, do it as one unit, one time, one labor, and that is finished.
Alright, last program of the Abdul-Haq question is regarding what you prefer. Nissan NP300 hard body 2.4 high rider, right? High rider. It's petrol, they're going for approximately R250,000.
That's correct, man.
Alright, alternately, there's a Nissan NP300 hard body 2.5 diesel high rider. This one's price is approximately R275,000. What would you prefer, my brother? 2.5 high rider diesel or the 2.4 high rider petrol? What's a better option to buy?
Both of them are good workhorses, right? Let me put it that way. They're both nice buckies. You know, the preferences comes in again as far as the petrol and the diesel is concerned. Obviously, if you are, you know, diesel long term, Maybe a little bit more expensive on maintenance, maybe on the long term, a little bit more expensive. I know Brother Feroz is listening to me right now. So, Brother Feroz, you can phone me after the program and give me a good shouting. It's fine. But if you're running around town here, fine, no problem. Just buy yourself a petrol vehicle, you know. I would find it rather more on the long term, more economical. But with the diesel, yeah, with the diesel now that they have all these advancements and things like that, it's also quite good. But on the long distances, on the farms, things like that, the diesel is actually brilliant for the long distances and all those sort of things. But running around pleasure, this, that, the other, I think the petrol would go well. There's about 20,000 rand difference on the two vehicles. But I would suggest, you know, I'd go out and drive both of them. Like I said, Monana, if we're going fishing and we need to pull a boat, you know, to the warp or somewhere, then obviously the diesel one will work as wonders, you know.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, the petrol also will work very well, but the diesel one, you know, on the long distance, you know, as far as the consumption is concerned.
So driving in the bush for hunting, would you say a diesel?
Anytime I would do that. I would do that. So you just set up the hunting trip, we'll organize the baki, we'll speak to Feroz, and I'm sure he'll give us the baki to use.
Jazakallah, brother. 7:40 p.m. We terminate the program. It's here. Jazakumallah. Inshallah, Allah willing, we continue next week. Have a lovely weekend. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.